McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, we've just gone from that story, of course, that ran on CNN during the week, and we've just gone from questioning should a web app be banned, and we're talking about TikTok, of course, because they refer to it as a digital drug. But my next guest tonight has found success on TikTok, acquiring up to 130,000 followers in the past year. Mel Z is a content creator based in Vancouver. And aside from her day job running a marketing agency, she creates TikTok content that focuses on weird pop culture, true crime, and even death. And she joins me on the line. Mel, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We've just come out of a conversation where some of our listeners were ringing in. We were talking about that story that was running on CNN over the last week. You know, there was kind of this question whether should it be banned in America because they're calling it a digital drug, TikTok. So I suppose TikTok has the good and the bad, and it can be used for beneficial purposes, of course, you know, when you're promoting, from your point of view, you know, what I believe is a great TikTok channel, by the way, you know, that has kind of this weird pop culture, true crime, and even death. So what made you move? I mean, was TikTok the first platform you've used, or were you using other platforms and kind of moved to TikTok?
No, I started using TikTok. That was the first thing I did. But I just wanted to say that I did listen to Jennifer, and like, I know there's definitely bad parts to TikTok, but there's bad parts to everything.
Oh, I know.
Right? Like, there's just like when the internet came out, everyone was like, "Oh, we need to ban it." There's bad things on there, but it's like there's great things and bad things with everything. Same with AI. Same, you know.
Oh, I said that to the listeners at the start of the topic. Yeah, my dad used to say to me I was a kid, you know, you're watching too much television, you become addicted, and you become a house hatcher.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was just kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I suppose it's up to parents. So the key is up to parents to monitor what their children are viewing.
100%. Like whether it's, you know, YouTube or TikTok or TV or whatever, radio, like, you know, it has to be monitored for sure for kids. But the conversations that are happening on TikTok are really fascinating, and I just find aren't really happening on other platforms. So like my content is like, you know, I talk about weird pop culture stories and kind of creepy things and like lots of death content.
Kind of unique, dark stuff. Very unique and dark, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But like, I try to make it kind of fun and interesting. Like, it's all just entertainment, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now, I wanted to get to one of the stories. Yeah. We'll talk about some of the other stuff too. But one of the stories that you kind of focused very much on recently was Milli Vanilli. Now, for our younger, well, there isn't really a younger audience. The demographic of this radio station is over 35. So most of our listeners, because of the Classic Hits radio station, will know who Milli Vanilli were. Milli Vanilli, of course, were quite famous back in the 80s. They had a couple of albums, hit albums, but they had a lot of big hit singles. I'll just give people a reminder of one of them there. Just bang that on there, AJ. Just, you'll remember this one, I hope.
And this is true. Girl, you know it's true.
So here was the thing, right? Milli Vanilli were loved by every young teenage girl. Yeah. And these are these two good-looking guys. They were handsome. They were everything a little girl, you know, a teenage girl wanted to admire. And it turned out it wasn't them singing at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like,
yeah.
I'm surprised by how many people... I always thought that this was something that everybody knew, like just, it kind of just, even if you weren't alive when it happened, that it's just kind of something like Elvis died on his toilet. Like I thought everybody just knew that, but like they don't. And I guess it's because maybe people aren't as weird or as dark as I am, but my brother suggested that I post this video about Milli Vanilli because he had talked to some people who didn't know it, this story. And I thought that's wild. So I posted it and like, it's got like 6.5 million views or something.
Wow.
And so many of the comments are like, yeah, it's crazy. It like exploded.
Yeah.
And so many of the comments are people who are like, you know, oh my God, I didn't know this story. Or like, you know, people do this now all the time, lip syncing and, you know, nobody cares, J-Lo and whatever, like they're kind of calling people out. But it's like, this was so different because they weren't lip syncing to themselves. They were lip syncing to somebody else's voices entirely, right? Which is quite strange.
But here's the thing. Let's do a follow-up video. You should do a follow-up video because I can tell you, because I was in the music industry for so long as a nightclub DJ in and around that time, there were so many bands who did the same thing. Black Box were huge. You remember Black Box? You know, gotta get up, right on time, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And they had that really attractive-looking black girl with the beautiful hair in all the videos. She wasn't singing. She never sang a word of the songs. She never sang any of them.
Yeah.
All the lyrics were stolen. Yeah. All the audio was stolen from a girl called Lolita Holloway, who took them to court afterwards, by the way. The CNC Music Factory was another one. You know, everybody sweat.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, again, there was no such singer. You know, that was a session singer that came in and they took the samples from other songs. That was a quite common thing to be happening in those days. But Milli Vanilli did it in style. And they really did.
Yeah, right? It's a very 80s thing because, you know, I was watching some old music videos the other day from the 70s, and you can't help but watch those and be like, oh my God, like, these people aren't attractive, which is jarring. It's horrible, but it's jarring. Like, it's noticeable because that's just not the way it is anymore. And so I wonder if in the 80s they were like, okay, everything's aesthetic now, and even, like, our singers need to be attractive. But, you know, so then they were just putting in face people, right? But how sad for these two guys, right? Like, it really, it didn't turn out well for them.
Yeah, well, one of them died, didn't
he? One of the guys. Yeah, Rob Paulides, he died in, I think it was 1998, but Fab is still alive, and he's, I guess, doing quite well. He's re-recording a lot of the Milli Vanilli songs, which is pretty cool, with his own voice.
Okay, well, that's
re-releasing
a start.
Them, which is, I know, I mean, good for him, though, make that money, man. And, like, he's I think he's in charge of the, or at least has something to do with their, like, official TikTok page.
Yeah.
So he's making some money now, which is great. Good for him. He deserves it.
I mean, there are other bands that have done that. What happened between the 70s and 80s, and you are right, there was this whole thing about aesthetics and pop music. You had to look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a great ad actually on TV here. You know, you sound awful, you can sing, but you look great. You go a long way. So that was the kind of thing, that was the thing in pop music in 80s. So a lot of bands started doing this kind of stuff. And it was the first time of manufactured bands, because Milli Vanilli, if I remember rightly, were manufactured by the same guy who found Boney M. Do you remember Boney M?
Yes.
So the same, the same guy, actually, what was his name? Frank Farren was the guy who put these together.
Yep.
And that was the start of the manufactured band. And now we have all these manufactured bands, of course, nowadays, you know, pop bands, girl bands, boy bands.
Yeah.
So it was the kind of start of all that. But look, you delve into that deeply. The video is on your TikTok page. People can watch it there. But I want to talk about some of the other stuff as well. You know, do you ever sometimes, you know, there's huge challenges in discussing kind of darker subjects like death, for example. Do you ever find that you kind of cross boundaries a little bit, maybe being a bit too morbid sometimes? Does that worry you that you go, oh, I don't know? Because I do it on this show. I go, have I gone too far? Have I gone too far?
I don't think so. I think especially with something like death where we just live in a culture where we don't want to talk about it. And that's really bizarre because it's going to get you and it's going to get everyone you know. And how crazy to not be talking about it. You know, we sterilize it so much. And so there are things that are fascinating about it. And people are always thinking about, they fear it so much that they're thinking about it a lot. And like, you know, so it's really fascinating to dive into it. I think, like, I mean, I've experienced like quite, significant death in my life. And so I feel like it's kind of helpful for me to dive into those things. And I'm sure that it is for other people too, to hear somebody else talk about it or, you know, just maybe learn more about it. Cause when you know more, you're maybe not as scared of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the crime is also, there's an obsession with crime, and I'm going to say, this is going to sound fierce sexist, right? But it's women. Oh, women God. Have a fierce obsession
with
crime. Why?
It's true. Honestly, I think it's because we are mostly the victims of violent crime. And so we, in this way that we can't control that, we can kind of take control of it by getting as much information about it as possible. That's my theory.
Yeah, the darker the better.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Hugely women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. And reminds me of that video years ago. It was either Gene Wilder or Richard Pryor. I'm not too sure. They were making the movie Stir Crazy. And they went into a prison and they met this guy who was a lifer. He was on death row. His name was Bubba. Surprise, surprise. But his name was Bubba. It sounds like a real prison name, doesn't it? Bubba. Anyway, they said to Bubba, he said, I was talking to Bubba and I said to Bubba, why did you kill your whole family? There were 7 people in his family. He killed them all. And he says, why did you kill your whole family? And his answer was, they were all home. I thought, what a great answer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? It's like, I don't understand when people aren't fascinated by it, because how crazy is it that you can be walking down the street and like looking people in the eye who could have killed somebody or maybe have the capacity to kill somebody? Like the fact that we're walking among these sociopaths, psychopaths, they're out there. There's people that, you know, husbands that kill their wives, and like there's just so many crazy people out there that it's shocking that we're just walking among them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that's not fascinating to people.
Yeah, I know. I sat beside a guy one day who killed his wife. And
really?
It's a very famous story in this country. He's a very famous murderer in this country. He's still in jail. And everybody knew he had killed his wife, but they just didn't have enough to pin on him yet. But they did eventually, right? But I remember my kids were in this kind of play center, and I went over because he lived near me. And I went over and I sat down to have a cup of coffee, and he sat down beside me. And I knew, because everybody knew, you're a killer, aren't you? And did I want to say it to him? I mean, it was horrendous. But to sit beside somebody you know is a killer, like a man capable of murdering his own wife, you know?
Right. And you want to think that it's a monster or that it's something that you would recognize right away in somebody, but that's what's so shocking about it and scary about it, is that you wouldn't. It could literally be your neighbor. It could be your husband. It could, you know, like, and so I think that's part of the fascination with true crime, is kind of trying to figure that out. How can we protect ourselves? Like, you know, just the psychology of it all is just
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite true crime story? When I say a favorite, obviously that you don't condone it. But do you have a favorite story?
I mean, I'll never get over the Ted Bundy story.
Oh, okay.
The fact that he escaped from prison twice, and you know, just how he was like basically a lawyer. How charming he was, and people loved him. Like,
women loved him.
The scariest
They wanted to marry him.
Women loved him.
Yeah.
Even after during his trial, you know, like the fact that, like, you know, somebody can be that like violent and scary living in the world and then still so charming and normal and high functioning is absolutely terrifying to me. And you know, I'll never get over that one.
I mean, he murdered and raped dozens of women, and yet women flocked to see him. You know what I mean? To get a glimpse of him.
I mean, the nuts ones, the nuts women, right? Like, you know, people are always talking about this guy, Wade Wilson, the guy with the tattoos. And anytime you talk about feminism or something with men on the internet, which I try desperately not to do anymore, they always say, well, what about Wade Wilson, all the women that love Wade Wilson? It's like, well, it's not all women who love Wade Wilson. It's just literally the nuts ones, the ones who wanted to marry Richard Ramirez on trial and Ted Bundy on trial. Like, those are the ones, you know, they certainly do not represent all of us.
I'm trying to remember now, Richard Ramirez, was he the Zodiac killer?
He was the Night Stalker.
Oh, the Night Stalker. That's right. I watched the movie.
Pentagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God, that was a good one.
Oh,
yeah.
God, that was horrific.
Are there any very famous Irish serial killers? I can't think of one.
No, thankfully, we really haven't had any. And we've had famous murderers.
Huh.
Yeah, but we haven't had we haven't had a serial killer, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
AJ, my producer's just going to check for me now. I don't think we've had any famous serial killers in this country. You know, 2 people is probably the most that anybody's killed. as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But we've had some long-term lifers, you know, who are very famous killers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like same in Canada. We've had a few serial killers in Canada, but honestly, not very many. Like, not like the States.
Yeah, what's wrong with America? I mean, what is it about America that they just can't be happy with, you know, killing one person? They want to go off and kill 10 or 20 or, you know, Aileen Wuornos is another classic example of a female serial killer, of course, who went around, you know, getting her revenge on men, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure you focus on her. But wait.
I don't know.
TikTok, right? It blows my mind. The algorithms. Yeah. Have you worked it out? I mean,
oh my God.
Obviously you have because you're getting so many bloody hits. So have you worked out the algorithms?
I don't think so, no. I was just telling somebody the other day that I want TikTok to give my eulogy at the TikTok algorithm to give my eulogy at my funeral because it knows me better than anybody I've ever met. Like, the algorithm on TikTok is unbelievable. You watch it for like, you know, 30 minutes and it's recommending things to you that you wouldn't have even thought of, you know, like it's great. That's why people, I guess, watch it so much.
And like you've gone, like in the space of 1 year, you've amassed a huge following with huge likes, huge hits, 130,000 followers.
Crazy.
And, you know, which is great for you.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, what's it like, by the way?
Awesome.
What's it like juggling your own career in marketing and doing this as well? Because I know, because I do podcasts too, how much time it can take up to do your own stuff as well. So it must be hard to juggle both, is it?
I mean, I work in marketing as a social media content creator. So I create content for my clients. Our company is called Rah Rah Creative Co. It's me and my brother. And that's what we do all day is create videos and graphics and stuff for our clients. And so then I kind of just, you know, one for you, one for me, squeeze them in there.
Okay.
Right.
So you're alternating it.
Yeah, I am kind of. And I mean, I'm only putting a video out a week, but now I'm on YouTube and, you know, cause I'm Canadian, so we can't make money off, TikTok for the views here. So, you know, I'm not making any money off TikTok except when I do like collabs or things like that. But so now I'm on YouTube and just started on Instagram.
And how are you getting on YouTube? Because YouTube can be quite restrictive. And, you know, it tends to give people strikes and warnings and demonetize very quickly if the content gets complained or reported. You know, we found that certainly.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that too. But man, I've found TikTok to be rough sometimes. Like, you know, sometimes I can't help it, but like kind of get into it a little bit in the comments because it's just shocking how much people want to criticize you. Like, hey, you said this word weird or you the color that you used was the wrong color. You know, people are so bored. They just want to nitpick other people's videos. And so I'm always like, well, go make your own videos or something. Like I get into it with people and it's so stupid and childish because I don't, you know, it's just, you got to catch me at the right time and I'll really get into it with people. But even if I put like a little like clown emoji, I get like a strike on my account, but then I get really like mean comments sometimes from people. And I'm like, why am I getting shut down for a clown emoji? But this person can call me like,
Some of the stuff is bonkers.
I don't understand it.
I know.
Yes. People go crazy. People go crazy.
Yeah. But I wonder, are there human beings? Like I ran an election campaign going back a while ago and I was putting up videos constantly on TikTok all the time. Not that I have a huge TikTok account or presence. I'm more focused on Twitter, right? But because of the stuff that we do. But like there was a video banned and I have still no idea why it was banned. It breached their policy, it seems. I don't know. I've seen stuff on TikTok that's like 900 million times worse than what I put up. It was quite innocuous. You know, it seems, I don't know.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's kind of word recognition or whether it's a human being that's looking at it and going, yeah, I don't like that. You know, I don't agree with
that. I think it's both. And I think they give more grace because honestly, I haven't had many strikes since I've had, you know, more followers. So I wonder if they give more grace to bigger accounts.
Yeah, because they don't want you to stop.
Yeah.
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 By the way, we've just found an Irish serial killer. So his name?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kieran Patrick Kelly, real Irish name. You couldn't be mistaken for not being Irish, right? He was a vagrant. He was born in 1930 And he was arrested and killed a homeless man while in police custody here in Ireland, but then went on to London and claimed, now he made claims, that he had murdered or attempted to murder dozens of people in London using a variety of methods.
Huh?
Yeah.
Interesting, but there's no proof that he did?
Well, he made the claim he did.
He just said, I killed a bunch of people.
Yeah. So it says if Kelly's confessions were true, he would have been the most prolific serial killer ever active in the United Kingdom and one of the very few known claimed Irish serial killers. Mm. There you go.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, well, that's about it. Well, wow. We're quite boring over here in this country, to be honest with you, aren't we? There's also, by the way, an Irish vanishing triangle. Might be an interesting one for you to cover. In County.
What is it? Irish vanishing triangle? I'm writing it down.
Yeah, the Irish vanishing triangle. Mm. So people seemingly disappear, or things disappear. It's like the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, interesting. Like the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah, wow. Okay, cool. Yeah, I have a huge list. Okay. People always tell me their ideas and stuff. So.
Yeah, so it's in Dublin, in a place called Kildare and Wicklow, and it's called. It's kind of like the triangle. Yeah. And many years ago, people kind of just vanished, women primarily. And it's called the Vanishing Triangle. So if you look up the list of missing women in Dublin, there's a lot of famous names. People will remember a lot of the famous names of women. And they have never, ever solved the crimes of all these women who went missing, all in and around the same time.
Wow.
Now, there was one man who was suspected of being involved in all of their disappearances. The FBI had him down as a suspect. He was a man called Larry Murphy at the time. And he would have been a suspect in a lot of their missing. But in saying that, they had no proof of that. Larry Murphy was arrested and locked up in jail for rape and also kidnapping of a woman. But they couldn't pin the rest of them on him. So they have claimed now this is called the Irish Vanishing Triangle. Yeah, be an interesting one to follow up on.
Yeah.
I hope you're recording all of this.
What a wild way for a man.
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, what a wild way for a man to skirt responsibility. Now it's turned into like a mythical thing instead of just a man who did awful things.
Yeah, because we can't prove that he did it, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. I remember, it must be magic.
Yeah, I remember years ago asking a lawyer, could we defame Larry Murphy on the radio? And he says, I don't think so. I don't think he has a character to defame in the first place. Anyway, the other thing as well is, you know, TikTok being a spotlight at the moment, I mentioned at the start of the show, what would your advice be to parents, you know, who are letting their kids watch TikTok? Because, of course, it's not like a movie where you have a rating on it. Everything is different. Every little video has a different rating. So what would your advice be to parents?
I mean, I think just same with YouTube, you can put parental controls on. And I think just to limit the time spent, you know, I watch my nephew on TikTok sometimes, just see him, like, his eyes look glazed over and he's, you know, scrolling from one video to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's like, it makes you feel nauseous, so like you're going to have a seizure or something. Like, so, but I get it because, you know, if somebody was watching me, I probably am doing that too. But it's not good for developing brains, I'd imagine. I mean, it's not good for developed brains either, but I think setting a time limit in general on anything like that is really important.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight. And for people who haven't seen your TikTok channel, it is great. It is dark, but it is great. And it's a lot of true crime in there.
Thank you so much.
Stuff, quite dark topics, stuff like death, true crime, and even pop culture, weird pop culture. And it's really interesting. And it's great to watch. Listen, Mel Z is your name. And Mel Z, people can follow you on TikTok. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on. And by the way, I'm assuming your TikTok channel is just called Mel Z, isn't it?
No, I was just going to say, it's actually Sorry I Brought It Up.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I do apologize. Sorry, say that again.
Because the theme, no worries. It's because the themes are so dark that I'm sorry I brought it up.
I'm sorry I brought it up. Sounds good.
Yeah, sorry, at Sorry I Brought It Up.
Okay, listen, thank you very much indeed, Mel Z. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Niall. Nice to chat with you.
You too. At Sorry I Brought It Up. So it's at Sorry I Brought It Up is the channel if you want to go to it. And it is interesting if you're kind of into the true crime and you're into all that kind of dark stuff and you're into kind of weird pop culture like that. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for everybody joining us tonight. Thank you to AJ and I really appreciate everything that came on the air tonight and got involved. We should talk to you again on Monday because it is Thursday, of course. I'm off for the weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.